He who has something in his mind has more than someone who has something in his hand. Back in the late 70s, as I was going to a job one morning with my backhoe in Cucamonga, California, I suddenly came upon sheep with their shepherd crossing the road. And I had to sit there and wait till they took their time to get across. And it suddenly occurred to me about all the images that the Bible uses to speak about, or how it uses sheep and the shepherd. The sheep, I observed, were staying very close to their shepherd. They did not want to get away from him. Without the shepherd, it seemed like they didn't know what to do or where to go. The character of a sheep without a shepherd is that of distress, trouble. The sheep is unhappy, scattered even, disunited, each going his own way. This is an animal that needs leadership, even human leadership. In other words, leadership that is far above itself. And this is characteristic of man without God. Isaiah chapter 53 even uses the imagery of sheep to speak of us when we have wandered from the Lord, especially because of our sin. In Isaiah 53 and verse 6, it is said, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Without the Lord's leadership, man is troubled and unhappy. Life is vain. We go our own way and we end up getting in trouble. There are two passages, one from the Old and the other from the New Testament, that show what happens when we go away from God. The first one will be Hosea 4, and the second one will be Ephesians 4. Hosea 4 shows what most of us already know. If you know the Word of God, how it affects people's behavior, and how the world is going, you will not be surprised by what is written in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 1, and verses 1 and 2. "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel," Hosea announced, "for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and killing and lying and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint." They break all restraint when God's word and God himself is no longer leading them. And then he adds, "with bloodshed upon bloodshed." And then we turn to that other passage in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 4. This one here shows the progression that people go through when they are away from God. They go from bad to worse. Starting at verse 18, Paul says that people without Christ have their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Their understanding, he says, is darkened, leading to alienation from God because of blind hearts leading to unfeeling hearts. And so their lives are filled with lewdness, uncleanness, and greediness. Man, therefore, or men, are like sheep. And so we need a shepherd. The shepherd. And of course, Christians have made the decision that they want that shepherd, that they recognize they have need of him, and they have made the Lord their shepherd. 1 Peter chapter 2 shows that there is no need, therefore, for us to be distressed. Often we will be distressed, but if we remember who our shepherd is, it helps bring peace and contentment back into our lives. We should have confidence that our shepherd will lead us and restore our souls. 1 Peter 2, verse 25. Peter writes, "For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." The Lord is the shepherd of our souls. And so now we don't go astray, but we go in the path down which He is taking us, that we might have peace. Having observed these things, I would like us now to consider a reading from Matthew chapter 9. And what is important to see here is that we have the shepherd. We have the shepherd, but the world does not. They need to be brought to Him. And we need help in getting this accomplished. Matthew 9, I believe, shows what it is that we love so much about Jesus. Look first of all at verses 35 and 36. "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary." Some translations will have harassed, and so others will have distressed, "and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd." Jesus saw the multitudes. A chief had three sons. The sons were to climb a certain mountain and bring back a token of where they had been and of what they had experienced. The first son brought back a flint rock. And the chief knew this mountain well, so he knew precisely where the son had gone to get this rock, and knew of his experiences, and he knew how high he had to climb to get there. So he commended his son and told him that he did a good job. The second son brought a flower back from above the timberline. The chief knew where that particular flower grew on the mountain. He knew what his son had seen and experienced, and that he had gone high on the mountain, and he also commended this son for his achievement. The third son came back empty-handed, for he had climbed to the summit and saw the other side, where he saw two rivers merging into one, providing great fertility and other things that the valley needed, so that it was growing in abundance. He spoke of these things to his father. The third son brought back potential in his heart, which the chief knew. And he knew that it gave him motivation to do more. So the chief blessed the third son, for though empty-handed, he was not empty-headed, because he had a vision in his soul. With a full mind, the problem of empty-handedness would be taken care of very soon. He who has something in his mind has more than he who has something in his hand. Likewise, in Matthew 9, Jesus had a vision in his soul for the multitudes. Now in Acts 16, Paul literally had a vision from God. God can see things that men and women cannot see. The gospel was saturating Asia. Now another continent needed the gospel. So in verse 9 it says, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' There were millions in Europe, and they all needed help, but the kind of help that comes only from the gospel. We also have a vision stated in the Great Commission at the end of the gospel accounts that we are to preach the gospel to the world. People in the world need God's word. They are sheep without a shepherd. Without the vision of God, they only have a rock or a flower and are missing the valley and the abundant river that lies beyond. Proverbs 29 says it well about the danger of living without the restraint of God, more commonly known as the Scriptures or the Bible. In Proverbs 29 and verse 18 it says, "Where there is no revelation or vision," that is vision from God, "the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law." If people do not know of God's revelation, if they don't know what he has revealed and told us, if they do not know of his law, they're going to cast off restraint. What is the result of that? I already showed you from Hosea 4 and Ephesians 4. It leads to many bad things. And of course, we all know that in many ways America has cast off restraint. But we have the revelation that they need. Jesus saw the multitudes. And we can even say that locally, we know what the numbers are. I believe that Josephine County has around 70,000 people. The city of Grants Pass, about 23,000. So the greater Grants Pass area must be about 40,000 plus people. What are we going to do about it? Jesus was moved with compassion. That is to say, he was touched, stirred, or prompted to action. And you know all the actions he took. If you've read the Gospels, you know what Jesus did. Matthew 9 mentions specifically, though, that he was moved with compassion. He had pity and mercy, moving him in the deepest part of his soul for these people. And so he was willing to do whatever it took to give them the shepherd so they would not be sheep without a shepherd anymore. How should we respond to the multitudes, not only in the rest of the world, but, excuse me, right here in our own local area? The world needs our compassion. People are distressed and scattered. But most people are receptive to the gospel when they're in a distressed situation like that. Our world is also like the people that Jesus saw. They are scattered, and people don't know what to do. They see that all is vanity. So they have no purpose in life, no contentment, and little joy. It is said that, you know, America is the richest nation on earth. We have everything, and yet we are some of the most unhappy people in the world. Why is that? Most of our people, most of our fellow citizens are missing something that's so vital. They have no shepherd. Yet later in Matthew 11, just two chapters later from where I read earlier in Matthew 9, Jesus invites them, the world, with words that He's already spoken to you and you have accepted. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus cares for us. And He cares for the multitudes that are in our neighborhoods. What then shall we do? Well, let's go back to Matthew chapter 9, because Jesus will tell us exactly what it is that we should do about this situation. I'll just continue where I left off. Earlier I read verses 35 and 36. Now look at Matthew 9, 37 and 38. Then, after seeing the multitudes and being moved with compassion for them, then He said to His disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest." How are we going to reach the tens of thousands that are in our area? And I'm not even including the rest of the world. We need help. And the way to do that is for us to speak to our shepherd and tell him, "We need more laborers. Send out laborers into your harvest." Let us also pray that we will use every opportunity and every means that we can. The next thing that happens in the story, you just continue going right into chapter 10, Jesus then appoints His 12 apostles. And what was their job? Their job was to preach. They were preachers. Now, not everyone can preach, but everyone can support preaching some way. On February 25th, you've probably heard that there is a movie coming out called The Passion of the Christ. There's a movie, in case you haven't heard, that is directed and fully financed by the actor Mel Gibson. And you've probably heard many things about this movie, including that it's allegedly will cause people to hate Jews for having crucified Christ and so on. You've probably also heard that it's the most accurate film yet about Jesus. And I have also heard many things about it, as well as some criticisms. A couple of weeks ago, the elders, preachers, and their wives viewed a DVD that includes, it introduces the movie. There's questions and answers. There's an interview with Mel Gibson, and also there's a trailer on this DVD of the movie. The little that we saw was quite moving. And what we want to do is we want to capitalize on the film and on the talk that is surrounding it, both now and surely the discussions that are to follow once it comes out. We do not know if this film is accurate or if it's way off base. Therefore, our goal is not to promote the movie, not even to tell anyone to see it, but rather to take advantage of it. February 25th is when it's released. That's a Wednesday. February 28th, which is the following Saturday, we hope to have in every issue of the local newspaper flyers stuff. That means 19,200. That's what the circulation is on Saturday for the paper here. And provided we can find a printer, I'm having a little difficulty in doing that right now. But anyways, we want to invite people to come here and learn about the compassion of Jesus Christ. When people open up their papers, a flyer is going to fall out on their lap. 19,200 invitations will be sent throughout most of our community to hear a series of sermons that I will begin the next day, February 29th, on the Gospel according to Mark. When you hear people either talk about the movie or talk about Jesus or whatever I'd encourage you to invite them to come here, that we might together take a look at one of the gospel accounts, Mark, the shortest one, and see what the Bible has to say about Jesus the Christ. And we hope to have some flyers available on the back table for you to hand out as well. Remember, our purpose is not to promote the movie or even to criticize it, for that matter, although both of those things may happen. We just want to use the opportunity being given to us by someone else to invite people to hear the gospel. Now, as it turns out, I'm going to be gone the second Sunday into this thing that we're doing. And brethren, Don Michael and Nathan House will be speaking that Sunday, but they will also be bringing messages from Mark. Now, I'm going to start at chapter 1. They're going to jump later into Mark. And when I come back, I'll go where I've left off. So they're going to hear messages about Jesus from Mark, and these flyers will mention the series of sermons on Mark. We all have a vision in our minds given to us by the Lord in the Great Commission. Now we have something in the hand to help fulfill that locally. Please help us. Jesus sees the distress, the weariness of people's souls, even of ours here, if we're in that condition right now. He also sees how things can be scattered in our lives, that we're scattered, but also things in our lives are often quite scattered. And He is moved with compassion toward each of us. Will you not receive Him? We implore you, if you've never received Jesus before, that you would do so. If you receive Him, you then have the right to become a child of God. You can then become a child of God by continuing to receive Christ, turn from your sin, and to be baptized into Christ. And when you do that, the Bible promises that the God of heaven will forgive you of every sin you've ever committed. If you're ready to do that, come forward right now. Let's kneel at the cross.